We want to check in now on Charleston, West Virginia, 4 months after one of the most serious episodes of drinking water contamination in U.S. history. Recent tests show that there are still traces in the water of a coal washing chemical that leaked into the Elk River at the beginning of this year. The initial crisis affected the water supply for more than 300,000 people, and the ongoing problems are chronicled in a local song called Aquapocalypse.
Well, I was sitting with my family at Harding's restaurant, all drinking water, cause you know that that stuff's free. When our waitress came and said the water's tainted, and we're closing for state of emergency. So we went.
All right, so a little lighthearted song there, but the chemical, whose shorthand name is MCHM, leaked into the river from an unregulated above-ground storage tank, sending people to the hospital and making the water smell and taste like licorice. Since then, West Virginia has passed a new law regulating those storage tanks, but for many Charleston residents, there's still enough concern that they're using bottled water. And until recently, the city's health director was doing the same. Dr. Rahul Gupta runs the Kanawha, Charleston, and Putnam County Health Departments in Charleston, West Virginia. And Dr. Gupta, let me just ask you this simple question. Is the water safe to drink?
Well, according to the real and early estimates provided to us by the CDC, and then much more stringent recent estimates provided to us from an independent scientists panel, the definition of safe seems to have been met. Obviously, there are still people who are a little bit conflicted about the safety, but scientifically speaking, the water does seem to be safe to drink, cook, and consume in any way possible. Now, from the data that we have, some anecdotal data through surveys, what we found that ending March 1st, only 5% people were really drinking the water. Now, we are finding more and more people are starting to utilize the water. It's been a slow process, unfortunately, but I think more and more people are developing that trust back in their water.
Mm. Now, this is one of the sort of tragic and interesting aspects of this story, is that it seems as if, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as if individual West Virginians have been asked to make a lot of decisions, you know, for their own good. I mean, at one point in time, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, you know, he issued warnings about the water, but then later on basically adopted a more cautious position, saying it was up to people to decide whether or not to use the water. And so I'm just wondering how individuals are supposed to be able to make an informed decision about something as fundamental as the quality of their drinking water.
Well, you're very correct, Megan, in that, because this was a very unprecedented event as well as historic in nature to have 300,000 people be impacted where they could not use their water. We still, as a system, as a nation, have learned that when large-scale water contamination events such as this happen, we may not be in the best position to respond to them. We had a lot of delayed information coming. There was some information that was coming that was conflicting in nature. We learned recently that the chemical has been in the water for way longer than anyone ever anticipated. And as a result, people did become a lot skeptical. You know, people in West Virginia were not willing participants to this experiment. But they understand it happened. However, what they want to do is get beyond this challenge and also provide some basis for learning to other communities in the future.
Do officials have any guess as to why the chemical is so persistent in water, even in the water there, even these many weeks and months after the original spill?
Sure. So there's several factors here. We know for a fact that the water intake that's coming from the river no longer contains the chemical in significant numbers that we can detect. However, the water in the pipes of people at home still has the chemical. So there are several explanations for that. One is that we found from the water company itself, its contaminated filters were perhaps pushing the chemical in very small quantities back into people's homes. Second is not adequate or appropriate flushing of the system. Because we understand that people are having a very low concentrations in their water of the chemical up to 3 months after the impact, we realize this is no longer a short-term exposure problem. this becomes a longer-term exposure. And when that happens, the safety factors and other things, it's a game changer. And we still do not have the data as to what concentrations is still safe for longer-term exposure to this chemical. There are, in fact, no scientific studies for long-term, especially no studies in humans.
And finally, Dr. Gupta, and again, I ask this of you as a public health official, do you have sympathy for those residents who might be throwing up their arms and saying, why was basically an above-ground storage tank that contained chemicals used in coal washing anywhere near the Elk River to begin with, that it shouldn't have been within sight or possibility of contamination of what is a known drinking water source for hundreds of thousands of people?
I do understand that. And in fact, the state law that is now become state law, the Senate Bill 373, will address and further regulate the above-ground storage. But it's also important to understand that I also don't believe that was the only leaking tank into a source water in the United States. So it's very important to highlight that there are, you know, changes coming in Congress with the Federal Chemical Safety and Drinking Water Protection Act that's moving along, and it can't be emphasized enough. For one, we're not well prepared to respond to such large-scale drinking water contamination events. It's also important to understand that our chemical storage facilities need to be better regulated and monitored. And finally, it's important to implement policies and protections around our sources of water across the nation in a unified manner rather than sporadically. Right. In other words, water safety and water security should be a national priority, not from only natural disaster standpoint, but also from man-made ones.
Dr. Rahul Gupta runs the Kanawha, Charleston, and Putnam County Health Departments in Charleston, West Virginia. He also teaches at the West Virginia School of Medicine and the University of Charleston School of Pharmacy. Dr. Gupta, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you, Meghna.